Hey, rotten is to his back, wedding caper and his fan over me is lost. Hey, rotten is to his back, wedding caper and his fan over me. His love, his banner over me, his love. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we are thankful today. Thankful, O Lord, for your grace, your mercy, your blessing, Lord, your goodness. And all the benefit, Lord, that you have given us and granted to us. We thank you even for today, even as we could gather together, Lord, in this land where there is still freedom of worship. Not like many other countries, Lord, that have not this privilege. We still ask of your blessing for those in those countries, Lord, and watch over them, Father, from corrupt powers in high places. Even as we gather here this morning, even as we remember them, or many poor countries, Lord, in difficulties of their coming together, you bless them, Lord, even as you will bless us even right now, as we come and sit under thy feet and learn of you. We ask for your blessing now, Father, to open our minds and our hearts to the receiving of thy word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I was supposed to have JPEG, the picture here, a scanned object for you to see, but I forgot. It was in the wrong thumb drive. Nevertheless, it's just a newspaper cutting, which I believe you might have seen it. Last 2 weeks ago, on the 4th of March. It's a good size page, portion of the page of newspaper cut paper, and it's entitled "Tell It Simple, Tell It Straight." It's an article, an interview with a senior or civil servant of Singapore who had been 40 years in the civil service, and he held many posts. He's already retired, and he's 65 years old. He held many posts. And in many ministerial offices in Singapore government. His name is Ngiam Tong Do. You probably will not know him. You don't think much of him because he probably wouldn't help. He probably is significant, but he's one of the person in Singapore who helped build up Singapore with Lee Kuan Yew and some of the earlier ministers and what they call a politician. And here was an interview and talking about the press. And so the article on top was written here, "Tell it simple, tell it straight," and I like it. And then the subtitle of that, it says, the words of Mr. Ngiam, believed to be a Christian man, he said, "To me, a free press is not a Tower of Babel. In extremis, censorship is necessary." Well, that is speaking for a country where if we allow free press to where it's nothing but confusion, then there's going to be a lot of trouble. So censorship needs to come in. And we need to tell it straight, tell it simple. And just right here in the churches today, all around the world. There's supposed to be one church. One church. But what do we have today around the world? Free press. Freedom of speech, so to speak. We have the freedom to teach and the freedom to preach. But it doesn't mean that we can create a Tower of Babel. And that's what we have over all these 2,000 years almost. We will say right after, well, I wouldn't say 2,000 years, we will say right after the Reformation started to build up and God wanted to bring the people into the truth. Since about less than 1,000 years. What do we have today? We have about 2,000 major denominational groups spread out into all the little faction here and there. Everybody say that, well, you know, God give me a revelation. God called me to be a preacher. So they go out there, establish a church, and comes off another branch. Maybe off from a shoot out of Methodism, or should our baptism, or should our Presbyterianism, or should our charismatic today, a Pentecostal, Anglican, Episcopalian, Greek Orthodox, now it's a pilgrimage, UPC, whatever you have. So we count them, more than 30,000. And so nothing but the Tower of Babel, and it is true. You know? And what do we have to do to keep ourselves and know ourselves whether we are on the right track? Tell it simple. Tell it straight. You know, we have to censor all those things that are not true. For God's people. A good government will protect its people. A good government does not throw out all these false, you know, messages out to the people. Like what we see on this clip on the American, North American Union. That's in many other countries. Lies are being spoken, told to the people. The news media go out there and generate that. And the truth is being covered up. You see. Well, last 2 weeks, 2 weeks ago, we have a message on God's election. We know God chose you. God chose me. We did not choose God. We all know that. When God chose you, it has nothing to do about whether you are good or bad, or whether you will accept Him, or whether you will not, because it's all foreordained before the foundation of the world, before you were even born. And then last week, we learned a bit, we learned of God's ultimate intention. His plan and His purpose for mankind. And we asked the question, if the fall did not take place, and then, today are all sinless, born without sin. Would Jesus still come to this earth? And the answer is yes. If we don't see it, then we will be short-sighted. If we think that salvation, or the great important thing in God, is to send His gospel to mankind, to rescue them, to redeem them, to atone for their sin, so that He could give them eternal life, a place in heaven. If that's all that we know about it, then we are short-sighted. Because all about salvation is only a part of the whole. For the plan and the purpose of God is to bring us to the image of His Son. Is that right? That is God's ultimate intention, to bring us to the image of His Son. Not just to come and save you, but after all, if there is no fall, He will still come, and Jesus Christ will set the example, and so that you could learn from Him, and come to that place where you will be perfect in God the way that Jesus was perfect, or is perfect. So we need to realize this. So now if the whole thing is, in the eyes of God, His ultimate intention is to bring you to the image of His Son, to bring you back into a whole full cycle to where God look at you as His sons and daughters. How does He go about it? And that's why we come to this third party. To do that, God has to establish your heart. That's the title of the message today. God established your heart. We need to let the Spirit of God help us to understand ourselves, and don't be cocky sure of yourself, that you know this, you know that, and now we think, and we find ourselves, we end up in trouble. Look at it, the church in Corinth. All the Corinthian Christians, they are so carnal. There are so many of them out there among the whole city. They believe the message of Paul, they believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, but yet they have so much of their own opinion, carnal opinion. You know what? History always repeats itself. We have it today. Just as it was back then. You know. And it is true, men never learn. The problem is that they don't want to learn, is because of the pride. Because men are born with this nature. A carnal nature. So we have all the opinions and so on until Paul had to write them two strong letters to rebuke them. You know, we have so many teachers, instructors passing through the city of Corinth. And this preacher would say, look, I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come on, let's have a meeting. And here one preacher will start to give them instruction about this and that, and away he goes. Another one come along, another and say his opinion, and away he goes, and so on and so on and so on. Until the people do what they want, it seems. No wonder Paul wrote them a letter and says, you know, you may have many instructors, you may have thousands of instructors, but you don't have many fathers. We need to identify with ourselves with the Word of God, to identify with something which is God. If it isn't God, then it must be from another spirit, another source. Or just like, you know, what Brother Nice dreamed in his dream. That means that he had a seeking heart. He has a seeking heart to want to know, because he was kind of being, you know, attacked. But all these other ministers are around him because he associated with me. You know. But he knows what truth is. And God confirmed it to him by a dream. And just like in the dream, in reality of life, he was also a little bit kind of uncertain. There are times many of us will be uncertain about so many things. And wherever I've been to preach, many people said, I'm very doubtful of what Brother Gunn taught, or what he teaches. You know. And so God established Brother Nye's heart with his a dream. As you know his dream, he found himself seeing a very clear, crystal, refreshing water, river of water. And he wanted to drink, but he had no container to scoop up the water with. And then next, he saw me, as in a dream, with a cup in my hand to scoop out the water. And I give it to him. And he, in a dream, he said, I hesitated to take it. I'm not certain. And then next moment, he turned around, and there was Brother Branham standing there, with a cup in his hand, taking from the same river. And he said this, we drink from the same source. If we all have the same source flowing from the river of life, from Christ Jesus, and we are established in our heart that this is the truth, we should not be afraid. You know your source of authority is the Word of God. It's not Brother Branham. It's not Brother Jackson, Ewart Frank, or anybody. It is the Word of God. It is Christ Jesus. The book of Psalms, chapter 2, 1 to 17. Can you put that on the screen? Sorry. Songs of Solomon, chapter 2, 1 to 17. I want you to turn to your own Bible too, if you have. And there are some words that I want you to know, because when I teach, I want you to look at some words. And there are some words that I want you to perhaps look at it, to underline. Because, as I said, you know, don't worry about dirtying your Bible. You know, scribble on your Bible, highlight on your Bible. Write a little note here and there. That's what the Bible is supposed to be. It's supposed to be for studies, not just mere reading. Alright? It's for study. It's a study book. It's an instruction book from God. So we want to really make full use of it. Songs of Solomon, chapter 2, 1 to 17. Now this is Song of Solomon is all about love. Alright? It's an interesting book. When you're newly married, you want to read that. Okay? You find it strange, but it's very descriptive, very beautiful. Some Muslims say that your Bible is very dirty, you know. It's perversion in that, you know. Song of Solomon is not a perversion. It's a description of love, true love expression of a man for his spouse. Alright? I'm the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Now, it's all about the garden. All right? The human body is the garden. In verse 4, he said, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Now, remember all this. This is a very important, interesting verse, because that's a song we sang early on. You know, his banner over me is that this is now Solomon is writing this, wrote this song in expression as being, you know, a woman in love with the husband. And he said that, you know, we can say that Jesus Christ brought us to his banqueting table or banqueting house. And his banner over me is love. He's always about love. He loves you. And Christ's love is eternal. It's unceasing. It never ends. Stir me with fragrance and comfort me with apple, for I am sick of love. This is what sick of love doesn't mean that it's contrary. Huh? It says, I am sick for love, or I am love sick. Alright? Truly enough, I can say, you know, I don't know how many of you are love sick. I mean, not love sick for your girlfriend or wife or your husband or boyfriend, but love sick for the Lord Jesus Christ. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand, he embraced me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that you stir not up, nor awake my love, till he pleased. The voice of my beloved, behold, he comes, leaping upon the mountain, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hawk. Behold, he stands behind our wall. He looked forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. We need to hear the love of God. We need to hear his direction. For Lord, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land as a turtle dove. The fig tree put forth her green figs, and the vines with a tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, come away. Oh, my dove. That's a nice thing. You don't call your wife dove. No, you call your wife by beautiful name. You don't call her, oh, my chicken. You know, that's the thing. You say, oh, my dove. You know? And on her hand, yes, maybe your wife will call you, oh, my peacock. Show your broom. You know, because you know the peahen don't have this broom, huh? You know though, don't you? Only the peacock has a broom. Show your broom. You see. So we always get a descriptive name, but so hard the Bible uses all these beautiful things. Oh my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is coming. Think us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine, for our vines have tender grapes. And how much true that is when we look about little foxes that spoil the vines. We have a lot of little foxes around about in everywhere in this entire message. Not each other little foxes, but big foxes. They're just all damaging the truth, damaging the sweet, you know, grape, the sweet fruits of Christ's word. Alright, my beloved is mine, and I'm his. He feed upon the lily. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hawk upon the mountains of Bala. This is just one of the texts I want to use just to show you about the love of God expressed in the Song of Solomon. Back in 1990, you know, I don't buy some many books, and yes, I used to. I have a whole cover full of books already, and my shelf is all bent, you know. And some of the books I had put underneath bottom of my table, and some of them I have given away because I think that I don't need them anymore. But today I hardly buy many of these Christian books at all because it's whole full of nonsense now. Because already back in the 90s, back in the 50s, when charismatic started. And 50 years after that, 2000 years, you know, 50 years later we see all this proliferation. Back in the 90s already, I saw all these things getting more and worse and worse and worse. So, it was 1990 I went to this bookshop. I used to go to bookshop almost very often, once a month, maybe once in 2 months. And just to look around, browse around, spend maybe an hour, browse around to see what new books did they have. You know? You see, and so when I went there, I saw a table full of books on for half price. You know? And I already seen these two books, which were written by American authors and printed in America, but it's printed in Singapore so that it could be cheaper. But at that time, still was kind of costly to me. I said, I wouldn't want to waste it, you know. But I just want to read and find out. So usually when I go to the bookshop, I flip through the book and just see something that attracts my eyes, and I look at it, I look at the back, and I flip through a few pages. If there's something that, you know, that I wanted to read more, and I look at the price of the book, and if it's too expensive, I won't want to. I wait until, you know, maybe 1-2 years later, the price will drop. So that's the way I spend money on books. But unless a book is something that I really need it, I would take it. I'll buy it. So when I was there, I bought two books, two half-priced books by the same author. The title of the book, Seduction of Christianity, and the second one, by Vahin, it is called Beyond Seduction. I already knew these two books were out in the market for some time, and I really want to know what this author would say among what's out there. Since I already observed what's out there. So I look at it, I bought it, and since it's already, I think it's only $3.90. The special price to half the price. So it's from $7.90, you know, to $3.90, something like that. So I bought it. So this author talk about the church, about the people in the church, they are not staying with Christ, they are drifted away. Yeah, that's what else is news, you see. And he was telling about so many different ministry and the different things that's going on in America and around the world, especially among charismatic, among the Pentecostal. The deception, the seduction. And when I read that book, I recall someone that we know, you probably have heard of it, a young man in Malaysia, in Penang, whom I baptized early on, years ago in the 80s, a Baptist pastor, assistant pastor of the Baptist, in the Baptist church. But he loved charismaticism. And he loved the message. And he loved his people in the Baptist church. And not very long after that, I baptized him and then a few of his young people that were very close to him. Not very long after that, I received a letter that he was confused and there was an evangelist in Malaysia who had the gift of healing or casting out devil or something. They were called to cast devil out of him, and they prayed for him, and finally I was told by this disciple of his that, well, he's getting better and all this, but he said that, you know, there's one more thing. He's still in bondage. And they wouldn't wonder why, according to them, wonder why he was still like that. And then they searched the whole house, and lo and behold, they found a picture of Brother Branham. And the reason why I was told by them is that he was like that was because Brother Branham preached false doctrine. And therefore the spirit was jumped upon him. That's why he was mentally disturbed. And they burned all the books of Brother Branham, he said. They said, this disciple told me. They burned all the books that he had. But there was a photograph that was still in the house, stuck somewhere in a cupboard or someplace. And then they found out, they took away this photograph and burned it, whatever they did with it. And lo and behold, he was okay. So I wrote back to this young man, I told him, the one who wrote me the letter on the behalf of this man, Peter Tan. I said, no. If it is so that Brahman's false teaching can put demons on me, we will all have demons already here. Every one of those believers in the message will have been demon-possessed. And I told him, I said, the problem with him, your pastor, is that he was in conflict. He had conflict over choices to make. One, the people in the church. Two, charismaticism, because he likes Kathleen Kaufman. He said, why couldn't a woman preach? He asked me back then, those days. Two, he accepted the message, but he find it hard to accept because Brother Branham spoke against woman preaching. You know. So, well, lo and behold, year passed, Suddenly he came out of the Baptist church. He had his own evangelism called Peter Tan evangelism. And he became very big because he could preach well. You know? And he continued all preaching, and then he got a lot of followers that he has to build a nice building for the gathering. And he put his ministry as Peter Tan evangelism. Wrote books, and one of the books he wrote was against Brother Branham. It was on sale in Singapore. And I saw it there. And he was in contact with the charismatic preachers over in America, Canada. And when they had seminar, he was one of the main speakers. You know, all those years passed by. Pastor Su in Malaysia told me one time what happened. His disciples, two young men, met him at a coffee shop and several other of the people of Pastor Su's church. And these followers of Peter Dunn tried to discern, say, oh, you have some disease here and there, this and that, you know. And Pastor Su told me, he acted, say, really, I got to you, you know. Say, yeah, you have something on the chest somewhere, you have some disease. And you know, Pastor Su rebuked them. You think that you learn it from your pastor, you can learn the art of discerning? Huh? And that's a problem. And later on I was told that this man gets so puffed up, he wants to act like, you know, like some great man of God. Don't come close to me now. Stay a little further away. You know, he told all those people around him. Because if God revealed to me your sin, I will tell it to you. I will reveal it to you publicly. Things like that. So a lot of things that were said. Very strange thing. But you know what? He got so puffed up, he fornicated with some of the women in the church. Was found out. All the elders cornered him and asked him, and what happened to the money? He took all the money and ran to Australia. Peter Tan evangelism is gone. You know, after all those years that I met him, you know, I didn't meet him, I saw him in Singapore, then I wanted to subscribe to Times Magazine, and it happened that he was talking to the person there, and when he went away, and I talked to him, I said, that's Peter Tan. I said, yeah, you know him. She was so excited, young lady, you know. So, you know, Peter Tan, you know, like he was somebody big. I said, yeah, I know, I baptized him. Why are you baptizing with me if you baptize him? So I told her, I said, baptize him in Jesus' name. You know, and later on, somehow, you know, because I subscribed, my address was there. She gave my address to Peter Tan, and Peter Tan wrote me, you know, he said, Brother, oh, we hope that we can get together, work together, you know. You see, the things of them made the Lord prosper you. I said, Peter, if I want to go you the way that you are going, I would have been far richer than you. I would have 10,000 of members that you have. Because charismaticism is easy to create. Mind you that. All you have to do is preach happiness, prosperity. You know what I'm saying? Give people a good time. Don't tell them about all the sins that they have. Tell them what God's instruction is. Don't give it to them. And it's very easy. I told him I would have been a far greater person, a greater preacher than you today. I would have been traveling around, I'd probably fly in the jet. You know what I'm saying? It won't be difficult. In charismaticism. I said, I won't want to go the way that you are going, Peter. I said, you know the truth. And God be the judge. And that's what happened to him, and he's gone. And what, just remember why? Because you see, people are having conflict over the choices you have to make. And the same thing in this entire message. People have to make the choice. You want to believe in two-self? Go with that group. You want to believe in polygamy, that you want to have more than one wife? Go with that group. You believe the Brother Branham is going to come back? Go with that group. You have to make a choice. But you have to make the choice that is right in the eyes of God. Or else your heart will never be established. You will have conflict, you would have all this, indecisive, you know, conflict in your mind as to what to accept, what is truth. You would just have to come down to a place where you have to seek the mind of God, say, Lord, help me. Thousands and thousands of books on signs and wonders are out there in the bookshop today. You know that, don't you? I have been. That's why I see more and more. That's why I hardly even go to this bookshop anymore. If I ever go to the bookshop, I will go directly to all those about, researched. I will look for word study. I will look for something that helped me in my Bible study. I don't want to look because there were books on signs and wonders and dreams and visions. Men of God, woman of God, you wonder if they really are. Some of them, some woman wrote. And your picture is on the back of the book with all the tinted our face and all the bob hairs and all the jewelry, lipsticks and everything. And you know what happened? She can write and say, oh God, give me a dream, or take me out of my spirit and went to heaven, or went to hell. I see the horror there. Brother, it is real. Brother, sister, it is real. It was horrifying. He was screaming. I saw Elvis Presley there. She was screaming and all that stuff. And there was a young man. He said, wasn't much of a believer or Christian, but the mother was a faithful Christian. Pray half an hour every day. His mother will pray half an hour every day. So one day when he came back, his mother was praying for half an hour there, and he just went back to his room, and when he threw himself on the bed to lie down to get some nap, boom, he said, God took him out of the body and he went to heaven. He said, went to heaven. He said, well, literal, he walked on streets of gold. And there was a river of life. Beautiful, it's real, brother. He said, it's real. And that was Jesus. He was laughing and playing with me and jumping with me. And there was another one that said, he went to heaven. He saw God the Father. He said, yes, the God the Father has the body. And that was Jesus Christ beside him. Boy, even they're right until they are like, they are real men of God. They can present it to you and people read it and they think they are real. Don't read everything you read in the newspaper. Don't you believe everything in it, all of it? You understand? You don't believe what you read in the newspaper because there are a lot of things that were not real, but they were make as if were real. You understand what I'm saying? And this book they were all circulating. They're so confusing. People are reading them, buying them, and when charismatic back in the 70s, 80s, when they start to bloom. People are making money. By writing books. You think about it. And when they write books, some of the other churches, they think that this guy has something. Call him to preach. Call him to teach something. That's where money comes in, just like that. You see? Corrupt mind. Some believer told me, so Brother Gunn, Brother Branham teach in the book when he talked about the Holy City, New Jerusalem. He said, there were houses in heaven. The streets were there. It's literal. I said, yeah, the way Brother Branham preached it sounds literal. See, yeah, but it has to be literal. Because the way that Brother Branham preached it. I said, you better read some other place in other messages of Brother Branham. In other places of message of Brother Branham said this. He said, why do we need houses in heaven? Because God don't need houses. Why do we need houses? So he showed them the quote. Can I understand? Why do you not understand? It's because you refuse to look into the Word of God. You think that there's nobody else outside other than Brother Branham that can tell you the truth. And that's a lie. Is that alright? Huh? It's not. In the days of Paul, that wasn't just Paul the only one, They had the truth. There were Peter, John, James. But the problem is that people are just not even knowing the plan and the purposes of God. That's why I say this often. You need to know the plan of God. You need to know His purpose. Or else you are lost. Not knowing where to go. What to believe. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. You see that? Giving heed to seducing spirits. Now don't talk about doctrines of devil, because after all, if you are not seduced by seducing spirit, you don't have to worry about doctrine. But because you're seduced to believe in something false. Sometimes we always love, when you see some of these, when we're young, and even today in India, Bollywood especially, sometimes it's very funny, because the way that they present a movie, It's always about dance, and a woman will dance behind a tree, you know, go behind a car, go behind some place, things like that, and then dance. It's kind of funny, isn't it? That the way that the culture presents something like that. We just laugh about it. You see? But if you look at it, a lot of people, a lot of Indians, I guess they like it because it seems that, oh, they're romantic, being seduced in there, you know, seducing the man, running here, hiding behind a tree, hiding behind a car, hiding behind a piece of cloth, or a pillow, whatever. It's kind of funny. You see? And that is true. People, when are seduced, they don't know, you know, because they're so nice. And that's just what the Bible talks about, you know, men. Young men. Young one, young man, man especially, young man, middle-aged man, and old man, like me. We all should be very careful about women out there, huh? You know, they come in, oh man, I didn't know this thing happened, but some years back I was with somebody, I can't remember, was it the brother James Berenwell when he was here? We were out there in Orchard Road in the evening, you know, we went for dinner and all this, so we came out and then walked towards what is this place called? You know the embassy, the Thai embassy? We're walking towards that area. It was night time. And we're walking, and here came up a Chinese woman. Came up to me and, wow, you know, so sweet talking. And I told her, says, no, you know, you have it right in the streets there. In Singapore. I thought this happened only in some red light area and in that's well known in Geylang or Desker Road area, but and all or in LA or Chicago or New York, but right in Singapore. So be careful. So all this sick talk, you know, all this honey stuff. Be very careful. You're not bees. Don't go for those kind of honey. So be very careful. And, but that's true. You see, you fall, giving heed to seduction spirit, doctrines of the devil, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from it which God created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. You see, God already permitted. You can eat this, you can eat this, you can eat this. Somebody come to the altar, you cannot eat this. That's what the character said. You're not supposed to eat meat. Huh? Is that right? Who was once Catholic here? Besides, oh, okay. My sister Aggie too. Now, you're not supposed to eat meat. And then there are some places, some Catholic told me, you're not supposed to eat fish even on Good Friday. Now, you were supposed to eat fish. Something like that too, huh? You know. Why? Who said, why not? Who gave you that kind of a ridiculous command? Somebody did. You know. And Paul warned about these things. Right? But if somebody says, you're not supposed to take opium, forbid you to take opium. You know, sometimes when you are in pain, severe pain, Panadol won't work, you go to the hospital, they give you opium, you know. No, I cannot touch opium. It's just that some of this cult. No, I cannot take blood. I cannot have blood transfusion. You know that? You see, we're talking about keeping ourselves in the Word of God, keeping ourselves in the truth and balance of what is good for mankind. But what today, men want to try to clone animals. They want to clone humans. Now that's terrible. But if stem cell could be used for good, use it. Of course there are people that will misuse it. Man is coming to this knowledge to be like God. More and more like God. To be able to create, manipulate. Huh? I read the paper just not long ago. But Singapore scientists, also NTU or NUS, I can't remember any, whatever that is, they have make wafer, make this plastic sheet using graphite. You know, graphite, you no matter how you create it, you bend it, you crack. But they're able to create so thin, one upon one of a thousand of a hair breadth. One of a thousand of a hair breadth, so thin that they can bend it. Woo! You know what you can do? In the future, with that, your computer will be very light. It's unbelievable. Men have achieved so many things. Huh? High flex, water, new water, all that, which, oh, you can take some, don't worry, you know, when you go up the river, where you upstream, all the people are doing the business, and throw the water on you, collect the water, put it into this filter, just drink it. Just imagine that. They can, because why? The man said he learned it from what? From nature. Everything man discovered, usually most of it come from nature. He talked about the cell. He says how the cell could filter that. So he was using some technology that's very close to that. Imitate it. And that's why a lot of things are being imitated. When the Shaolin Kung Fu imitate the praying mantis and the tiger and the monkey and whatever. And then, you know. Yeah, you learn it from all this nature. And that's what science is. They learn it from nature. In our study of the Word of God to understand spiritual things, we learn from nature. Natural thing too. You see, all right, let's go to the next one. 2 Timothy 3:13 and 14. But even man and seducer shall wax worse and worse. Never be better. Huh? When they seduce, when they are in the corrupt, when they are wicked, when they are carnal, they will continue to wax worse and worse. Deceiving and being deceived. It's one thing to deceive your own self, no? But you deceive others. What did Jesus said to these Pharisees? He warned to you. You encompass land and sea. And you proselyte all the people there. And you make these people too for the chance of hell worse than you. So the person who is deceiving himself is one thing. But when he deceives others, the person is 2 times worse than the person who is deceiver. So now be careful. Huh? Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Following all sorts of doctrines, all sorts of preacher, hearing all them, except those things to be so. You say, we have no control over you. I have no control over you. You're free. But remember, I think, don't let the freedom just simply go, you know, rampant. You can just do anything you want with it. The freedom is in the Spirit of the Lord. You want to go to charismatic church to see what they like? Go. You want to go to another church to see what they are doing, how they worship? Go. You want to know what they preach? Go. But don't be deceived by the Spirit. Because seducing spirit are going around. You understand that? To deceive people. And how did the seducing spirit work? It works in men, in preachers. You know? The people who know how to talk, to try to seduce you. Charismatic people. And that's what it is. But continue now in the thing. Now this is the letter of Paul to Timothy. Second letter. He said this to Peter, Paul, to Timothy. But continue you in the thing which you have learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. Isn't that right? When I was in denomination, who I was learning from? I was learning from the system. I was learning from my past. But it turned out that it wasn't the right thing. When the message came, then I realized, oh my. Then I started reading Brother Branham's book, listen to his message as much as I can in those first year. You know, and the important messages that I would just read them and find out what he said. And just reading the book, you know, go open my eyes. I don't have to read it twice. I read it once just to know. Because he just pointed me back to the scripture. And you know what? I checked the Word of God. And there it was. The Holy Spirit checked what he said and put me back in the Word. And I learned it. And today, if you tell me Brother Branham preaches false doctrine, I say, you lie. You understand what I'm saying? His speech may not be perfect. Or just like what I was saying just now, a while ago. You know, when you preach fast and all this, maybe you get the wrong words out. You see. And so, Paul told Timothy, remember to continue the thing which thou hast learned and have been assured of. Your heart has been established in it. Because you know who you have learned it from. That's very important. And that's what Brother Abraham said. You know, Brother Abraham is wise. People ask him all kinds of questions. But he doesn't give them, you know, a favorable kind of answer to point to this one, point to that one, point to one. No, he doesn't. You know. He said, you find the best teacher that you can find. And you stay with him. Don't move from pillar to post. Am I not right? Is that what I say? Yes. Find the best teacher you can and stay with him. Don't move from pillar to post here and there, here and there. And I know that, like this sister we're talking about, oh, how does she, you know, because of the confusion. you can't blame her for moving from one place to another because she cannot find the answer here. She got from going to another church. She didn't get the answer she wanted. That is scripture that makes sense to her. Until she moved around to find the right church, she will always be moving around. Because the human heart are not satisfied. If you want to have a spirit, they say, it doesn't matter. I just fellowship. Even though there are other churches around, this one believes the brother Branham is going to rise up from the grave and fly the aeroplanes around the world and preach again. It doesn't matter, I just stay here. Do you know what? Your soul is going to die. Because you're not feeding on the word of God. You're feeding on junk food. Is that alright? You make a choice. You see, you need to establish the heart. You see, alright, when we talk about learn, is learning from who is important, it's not because of sign. But people think that we need to learn from Brother Branham because of the signs and the miracle. Therefore, we must learn from him. Or do you learn from him because of the scriptures that he preached or because of the sign that he performed? What was the signs and wonder that he had for? It was a bed to draw you. Am I right? Draw the little fish and the bigger fish and then the big one. That's what the angel said. God wants the big one. He's drawing. It's just a bed. And a bed draw you to the truth. That's the purpose. Not because of signs and wonder he performed. Therefore, I believe Brother Branham. And there are a lot of signs and wonder out there. Look at all the false signs and wonder out there. Benny Hinn. Kenneth Hargreaves. Schuller. Burnham. Juanita Burnham. They're all this out there. You believe those things to be true? That's the karma. Those things will stand in the judgment of God and be condemned. When the truth you have, you rejected it. I told her that young man in Malaysia, you have the truth, you know the truth. No, you despise it. And all you want is to be popular. It will eat you up. And that's why I cry out to the Lord, you just keep me simple, Lord. Just keep me simple and stay with the word. You know, when a man is popular, especially when you're young age, listen to me, a lot of preachers in America, many of them also get into this trap. You know what I'm saying? In your 30s, wow, you have a big congregation, you have a big ministry. There are people flocking to you, right? Isn't that right? People will seek you for counsel and all this. And then girls, the devil will use young girls. They have problems too. They want audience with you. They want hello, talk with you. Bring them to your office and alone in the office with you. So many fall into this trap. The fornication. Same thing, anti-message. One out there in Nigeria I know of. Good looking man. Handsome looking man. Very influential. Seduced the ministers of America and Canada. Build big churches. Speaks well. Woman fall with him. Slept with a few sisters of the church in the hotel room. Think about it. We have devils in this world. Don't think that you are stronger than the devils out there. Without Christ Jesus, the word of God that you should use, you have nothing. You cannot fight him. The warfare against the devil is not carnal. We cannot fight him with our own strength. No way. You can only fight the devil with the word of God. Is that right? Yes. Alright. Some people, a lot of charismatic, of course, they are seduced by the books written by all these men about signs and wonders. And you wonder. No wonder they confused the mind. There was a man called Napoleon Hill. You probably, I don't know how many of you heard of, unless you're a salesman, you will want to read this man's book, Napoleon Hill. He wrote a book called Think and Grow Rich. It's all about positive thinking. He's a good salesman too. A motivation too. A motivation book. You know. But there's one thing out there, to be a salesman, and I should sell. Okay, fine. But in the Christianity, you have men like Robert Schuller, Juanita Burnham, Juanita Burnham, the woman who said that, hey, you are somebody in God's eye. Don't use big pen to sign your check. use a $5,000 pen that I have, like I have. She had a $5,000 gold pen. She signed only for check. She used only for signing check. He said, if you use a big pen, it's a disgrace. Don't you know who you are? Hey, man, my goodness. Do you know that kind of preaching? Motivation, positive thinking, so that by doing the right thing, by buying a $200, even though you don't have $200, you squeeze out every cent that you can have, you know, for you don't want to eat any good food, you just, maybe just eat bread and butter every day. Save the money, $200, buy a pen. You know what I mean? For sending check. And if you have no money, what check do you sign? But you know, they've been taught like that. You see? You know, what about Jesus? You know what the thing is, that their preaching is so contrary, but they are preaching a motivation. It's positive thinking, motivate the people. For what? For their good or for the preacher's good? That's the thing. Isn't it alright? You gotta have faith! That God bless you, God is a millionaire! He wanna make you rich, look at you, what are you driving? A broken down truck? You know, God wants you to have a Chevrolet! 2000cc. We go handlebar. Let us see. What? So you got to believe, right? But you must give it to God first. Because God will look at your faith. You must act first. Because the Bible said, give and it shall be given unto you. See? Alright, every one of you here got $100. I'm going to pass the bag around. So you know you got to give first. Because you know what? God is going to give that to you. The Bible says He will give you and you will press down over to overflow it. You know, He'll give you more. $100, guaranteed $1,000 will come back. I'm going to pass the bank around. Yes. You know, that kind of tone, what if people think, oh yeah. You know, a lot of people don't even know the Word of God. But this motivation, people, who doesn't want to be rich? Anyway, if I earn $500 a month, I want to have more than that. Sure, $500. If I give, God will give me a job, they will give me, they will take me, you know, 5,000. Wow. I wanted that. But they don't check the scriptures. This is a seducing spirit to talk like this. And the people's mind are confused and they think that it's real. They accept it. They go ahead for it. And a lot of people, you know, Robert Schuller in America, very popular preacher. He always come out with a special robe that he's wearing. You know, very charismatic, and let's talk about positive thinking and all this sort of thing. Boy, oh boy. David Choyongi, we all know very well. These are examples. You know, Paul Choyongi, his name was changed to David Choyongi. Huh? In 1992. And, 10 years ago, a little more than 10 years ago, his congregation was something like 400,000, but today it's almost coming to almost a million. Big! Now they don't even where to get a ring, so they're going to find a place. I think they're finding an island or something like that where there could be a big meeting, building for to have this big gathering of people. Why? How are you going to put that many people? Of course, maybe 20,000 in one service, for half hour, 1 hour service, and then break half an hour, next group comes in that you see over there in Santa City. In all this charismatic group. You think they're going there to worship the Lord? Are you really? Oh, they're going to have a great time, hallelujah! You know, that's what they're looking for! You think they're really going there? See how they're dressed. You know, I see men going out there in shorts, in flip-flop, in t-shirt like they're having a picnic. They're going to picnic. I couldn't believe it. Man. Choyongi's teaching. This is what Choyongi's teaching is like. These are taken a quote. Cho's teaching are an adulterous mix of a little biblical teaching with a lot of occult healing, prophesying, visualization, sorcery, and pagan mind techniques. Charles teaches that Christians can get anything they want by calling upon the spirit world in the fourth dimension and visualizing their felt needs. No matter how crass and gross, Charles teaches that positive thinking, positive speaking, Oh Lord, I want a car. Not just any car, BMW. I want a car, BMW. I want a car, BMW. Just speaking, just get on from fast. When did you get it? Is that real? And positive visualization. You speak it, I've got an BMW. You visualize it. Woo, it's there, it's there. My. What has become a charismatic war? They are the keys to success. And anyone can literally incubate and give birth to physical reality by creating a vivid image in his or her mind and focusing upon it. Visualization. There was one chap. There are so many cases that I've had. This guy said, if you fast 6 hours a day, every day, you will have the power to cast a demon, and so on and so forth. He says, one time, he has this power, visualization, that when he cast out the devil, when he speak the word, supernatural light came out of his mouth. Woo, you believe that? I think that's only happened in cartoon. You don't want to say animation. You know animation? Or science fiction. Or in the Chinese Kung Fu, boom, your light comes up on the hands. You know, I think that people have these people. If anybody believe in this person, or anybody believe in Chogi's, all this teaching, they've got to have their head examined. But the trouble is that they don't even know how to examine their own head, because they're confused, they have lost their mind, they have been seduced. As the Bible says, God will give them a strong delusion that they will believe a lie. And a hot iron will seal them. You know what I mean? Completely they cannot get out of it. It's terrible. Today in the end time, I said the people are believing that Brother Bang is coming back. They keep on coming saying that preaches that. And they believe it. Even they show them that it's not possible, nowhere in the Bible, they don't believe it. They say, he will come back. And then you know what? To anchor their faith, God gave them a strong delusion. They turn around and say, if you don't believe what we believe, the problem is going to come back and preach again, you're going to hell. You're not a believer. Who? He feels so powerful. Because you know what? The Spirit came upon him. He suddenly had a revelation that he must say this. If you don't believe what we believe, the problem is coming back. You're not a believer, you're going to hell. You're not make the rapture. Who? I got the revelation. Barbara is coming back. You know, they make it so real. It's your spirit, it's your faith established. Huh? Are you establishing the heart that what you have is real? And you couldn't be real according to the word of God, because you have the word of God and you know that it's there. You know what I mean? You know Paul, when he preached, he doesn't beat around the bush. He gets straight to where the Old Testament is and show it to the people. Is that right? Peter also take the Old Testament and show it to the people. Say, this day the scripture is fulfilled like Jesus said. You see. They know what they teach. They know what they have. And of course, one time Peter thought he had everything. Until he saw what Paul had. And saw the foolishness of people who tell Paul's messages. And he warned them, he said, you don't wrestle with that. There are many deep things that Paul taught. Don't wrestle with it. Take it to the scripture, you know. In a denomination, don't think about it. Bible says so many things that it's kind of a little passing. Especially about serpents and all this, to them. Many of them cannot understand. Why don't they just stick to the word of God and look at it? You know. Well, there are some that wrote me in a mental message. They believe the original sin, but they still do not fully understand. And he wrote me a letter and said, Brother God, I'm so thankful for the book that you wrote. It now made clear to so many questions I asked about original sin. You know. But I want to answer is in the scripture. If you only want to open up your heart and look at it. 1 Thessalonians 3:2. Now we're going to carry on until 12:30. 1 Thessalonians 3:2. And Saint Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you, to comfort you concerning your faith. You see, Some churches out there need to be sent. They said, sometimes I need to go. If I cannot go, I have to send someone, you know, from other countries to go and help this brother to continue to establish them strong in the Word of God. Hebrews 13, verse 9. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrine. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meat, which have not profit them that have been occupied therein. You know, some people are gluttons. Be careful. Don't eat too much. Eat less, good for health. Eat more is no good. Believe me. Some people say, Brother, how come you're always so skinny? Well, you know, if you eat too much, you're going to put on extra inches around your waist, or on your hip, or on your cheekbone, or on your tummy. You know, and this weight here, the corner body, ain't good for you. Alright? When you reach a bit older, then you realize how bad it can really get. But these people now, establishing meat, which is no good, establish the grace. Spend more time in the Word, spend more time in fellowship, in the grace of God. 2 Peter 1:12. 2 Peter 1:12, wherefore I would not be diligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Don't you know them and be established in the present truth. Not yesterday's, but present. Not yesterday's, but present truth. Not tomorrow, because tomorrow hasn't come yet. So we need to establish on that. Acts chapter 9. 1 to 19. And Saul, yet breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciple of the Lord, went unto the high priest. This was Saul before he was Paul. Oh, he was so sure he knew what he was doing. And that's a lot of people today too. They're so sure of they know what they are doing. So yet breathing and threatening and slaughter against the disciple of the Lord, went into the unto the high priest and desired them letters. Because remember, Saul was a Pharisee. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. So he needed that authorized letter, just as usual, you know. He didn't know at that time. He was a slave to the system. You know what I'm saying? He was so zealous, thinking that he was doing God a service. But he has to go through a system to the high priest, give me letters, authorize me, that I have the power to seize, to take these people. Is that right? I don't need a letter from anybody. Like in denomination, you know, they ask me, where do you get authority to preach? So what authority do you want? Well, you've got to be trained, you've got to get it from some Bible school, and, you know, the principal, the deans of the theological school, and blah, 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 blah. I says, no, my authority is from birth. I said, my authority is above. I said, where did Paul get his? Where did Peter get his authority? I said, your authority from the Bible school is, in the eyes of God, tapake. Doesn't work. Because God is not interested. You know, that's only from the men. You are building an early church. But God is building a heavenly church. And your authority is from the earth. But my authority is from heaven. So what are you looking at? But you know, they don't understand because they are so brainwashed. They are so traditionalized that they cannot see. Alright? And desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he find any of this way, or any of the way. And those days before a believer of Christ were called Christians, they were called the believer of the way, or the people of the way. Okay? Because Jesus said, I'm the way. So we are, alright. You can say the people of the way, the people of the life, huh? Isn't that right? Or people of the truth. Whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came unto near Damascus. And suddenly there shone around him, above him, a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice say unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, and go into the city, and he shall be told thee what thou must do. And the man which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand, and brought him unto Damascus. You see, when Christ met him on the road to Damascus, when Christ spoke, people heard a voice, but they didn't hear what was said. They know somebody was speaking, but they see nobody around. And Paul heard everything. Alright? And he was convicted. He said, Lord, what will you have me to do? But the moment that Paul got up, opened, he, you know, Paul was actually slumped to the ground. You know, I mean, in fear, what we say, you know, with the voice of Christ. But when he opened his eye, he couldn't see. He see no man, means he's blinded. He couldn't see anyone. He couldn't see anything at all. You know, when the light hits you, definitely you can see. Momentarily, you cannot see. Till you come to the place of repentance, recognize that light is leading you to truth. Either it blinds you, as I said, we know this truth. The Bible is two-sided. Huh? It gives you life or gives you death. You know that truth? Huh? Because it's a two-edged sword. It divides. Who is on the Lord's side come. Divides right from the left. So when the light hits Paul because he doesn't have the truth, he was blinded. And Paul repented and says, Lord, what do I mean to Jesus? Okay, you rose up, go into Damascus. And so the man took him. He was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. To him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias! And he said, Behold, I'm here, Lord! And the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the street which is called Street, and inquire into the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayed, and have seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias says, Lord, I have heard by many of these men, how much evil he have done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he have told thee from the high priest or the chief priest to bind all the corn on thy name. And the Lord said unto him, Go thy ways, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to hear my name before, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great thing he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hand on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest has sent me, and thou, that thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell upon his eyes as he had been scaled, and he received his sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Look at that. If you want, Paul was not realizing that he was walking the crooked road. He was walking a crooked street. So the only way to straighten him out is to send him to the street called Street. You know? And there he was, straightened up to the fact that he had been persecuting the saints of God. And there his eye was opened once he knew the truth, and he was baptized. You know, Paul's motive was good. Good intention. Right? But he did the wrong thing. Good motive, but did the wrong thing. But there are many people who do the right thing, but have the wrong intention and wrong motive. Yes, it still exists. You know what I'm saying? You want to do the right thing, and you think that you have the right thing. Yes, you do it right. But your intention is not right, and that's no good. Paul's intention was right, but he did it wrong. But God's grace was given to him. So till our mind is in the street, cross street, till our mind is straightened out in the Word of God, in the truth of God, and have our heart established, it will now be established. Until we come to a mind that is no longer double-minded, we have to make up our mind, make up a decision. I know sometimes for many of us who young people, after you leave school, you want to go to work, you find it hard to make decisions. Where do I go? And things like that. Maybe that you are looking for a certain job that you like, but it's all taken up. You have sent letters to other kind of job. And all of a sudden, 4 or 5 letters says, okay, we have chosen you. Whoa, now you have to make a lot of, what choice to make? That 3 or 4 letters say, we're going to give you this post. Of course you'll be in conflict. Every one of us who have many times made choices. Every day is a choice, I said this before. After you go out here, you don't even know what to eat. Now I say, what shall we eat? Let's come in there. What shall we eat? Where shall we go? Because every time we go to a hawker center, we see all the same, all kinds of food. You know? The question you ask is, how much am I going to spend today? It's simple. Then your choice will not be so difficult. If I'm going to spend $5, okay, let's go chicken rice. If I want to spend $20, let's go to a buffet. Maybe those buffet that give you $20 worth. You know, but usually we all have make choices every day, practically every day. But the thing about it, the Word of God, the choice that we make of Word of God, we must come to reality and fix it once and for all. Yes, this is the truth. I'm going to stay in the Word of God. I decided I'm going to establish my heart in the truth because I know this is the truth. There's no way out. This is it. Don't go beating all the bush, so to speak. I'm so glad for Brother Nice who told me about Brother Henry Ito. You know, you make a decision. Final. When you make a decision, I tell you what, you make for the truth of God, you'll be attacked. Yes, right. You will be attacked, despised. Alright, so let us, in the end, closing, let us recline ourselves on His breast. My beloved is mine. Remember? Let Him hold your head with His left hand. And with His right hand, embrace you. And caress you. You know, loving, such a loving Jesus Christ of ours, our Savior and our Lord. You know? Hold your head! Not just your hand when He walks with you, but He holds your head. Because that's where your mental faculty is. You know? And speak sweet. Not nothing. Sweet something. Sweet words of truth. So let us recline upon His breast and upon the bosom of Jesus Christ, so to speak, just as John the Beloved. Isn't that right? And you know, if you ever read the Gospel of Jesus Christ in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there are just a couple of times, I think two or three times, if I remember right, that He mentioned about John the Beloved, you know, reclining His head upon the bosom of Jesus Christ. Is that right? Yeah, you just think about it. Jesus Christ there sitting on it, ministering the word, fellowshipping. John was a young little fella. You know, Jesus was about 30 years old, and John was probably about 20. You know, I mean, he's got a dog already, and Jesus sat there, and here this young man came and put his hand. Jesus didn't even bother. Okay. You know what I mean? It's alright. You know, just want to hear the heartbeat of Jesus. That's why John was so special. There's no other disciple like John. All the 12, there's none like him. You know, Peter has his character. Peter was headstrong. Was good for a time. You know, but John is always very listening. Always meditating. Listening to the habit. Knowing the revelation of who this person is. And he was the last to die. And God, Christ, gave it to him. The revelation of himself. In the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see how wonderful that is? So recline your head upon the breast of Jesus. Establish your heart, who your lover is, who is the one you're supposed to have, because in Him can you become conformed to the image of the Son of God. In Him, in the Word, because Jesus said, I am come to do thy will. Is that alright? I am come to do thy will. I am come to fulfill the Word of God. And so the same thing, we are here on earth to fulfill the Word of God. So let our heart be established so that we can conform to the image of His Son as Christ, as God move us. You understand that? You can never be established or be conformed to the image of His Son if you are not established in your heart about this truth. If you still think that somewhere out there, the church are all the same with you, the church here. You know, the church out there is not the same as the church here. Because no church are all the same. They are all different. The charismatic is one, the Pentecostal is one, Anglican is one. You understand that? You know? The only true church, I'm not saying that this is the true church, but I believe that we are part of the true church. And the true church is a church of people that stick to the Word of God, that stay on the sure foundation of Christ Jesus, whose heart is established, who wants to be conformed to the image of His Son Jesus Christ. Not to a system, not to some great man on this earth. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord. Thank you for truth, Lord, and I pray you just got all through this life. We are thankful, Father, for what you are doing in our life, Father, to help us be be conformed to the image of your Son Jesus Christ, and that we know that you're guiding us to and teaching us, Lord, that our hearts should be established, O Lord, in thy word, that our mind, Father, will be settled one for and for all. Lord, to be confessing, O Lord, what we know is truth, and as the Spirit showed to us, and our heart be already established with the grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord. That we will not be tossed to and fro in this last day with all the confusion that is out there, Father, in this Christian world. Not just among the charismatic Pentecostals, but also in this entire message, O Lord. There's so much thing that is going on. And we see the war, Lord, that the way that it is set now, we are waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we pray, Father, while we are yet here, let us do what we are supposed to do. And if we are working, Lord, we are supposed to continue in our work. If the children are supposed to be in school to study, they are supposed to continue studying, Lord. And but we always should be watchful and prayerful and be ready for the day to come when the final call, when the final trump, Lord, shall sound. And we are thankful, Father, we are looking forward to that blessed hope. We thank you, Father. We are committing all this, our life, to you and our spirit and soul to you in Jesus' name.